Good evening. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to those across the pond in the world. You have tuned in to Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. My name is Mitch Batras, and I am your host. Well, welcome once again to this live broadcast, October 9th, 2003. Tonight, we're going to be connecting, again, through live broadcast, to Holland, the Netherlands. And really anxious to get into this interview and see what Joshua has to say. But staying with tradition, let me go over the breaking news events of this day, and that is quakes rattle California-Mexico border. To no surprise, for those of you that do follow the earthquake activity and volcano activity as well and so forth, there is a theory that there's a type of domino effect that occurs around the Ring of Fire. If something was to originate, the large one was to originate in Asia, Japan, for example, it is suggested that it would swing around the Ring of Fire, a good chance of going over perhaps the Philippines, maybe to Australia, New Zealand, and come up the southwest borders of South America, perhaps Central America, Mexico, and then up the northwest, California and northwest into Alaska. So it doesn't surprise me that we're starting to see earthquake activity in California, California-Mexico border. Now this one is relatively small that occurred today. It shook the northern Baja California and residents near the U.S.-Mexico border, but apparently caused no injuries or serious damage. The quake only measured a 4.3. I expect to see much larger ones, at least five, so I wouldn't be surprised to see six, and perhaps even higher than that. So we'll keep an eye, of course, on ongoing earthquake activity. Star 37 Jim, as in G-E-M, called most likely home to aliens. This is a Reuters report, came out today. If life does exist elsewhere, it's likely to be near a middle-aged star in the constellation of Gemini, according to U.S. scientists. Astrobiologist Maggie Turnbull of the University of Arizona in Tucson has compiled a short list of 30 possible habitable planets and stars, and one called 37 Jim is her top choice. This stable middle-aged star is just a bit hotter and brighter than our sun. And if alien life is anywhere, she states, it's likely to be there. And this was printed in New Science magazine. Interesting. Ah, Yellowstone. Now, folks, this is really, again, I get a bit of a chuckle because for you and I and the hundreds and thousands of us out there, you know, we've been on top of this for several weeks, really a couple of months now. And this is just now coming out. An article just was released today in the New York Times. The title is, "In Yellowstone, a Subterranean Volcano Exerts Its Influence." The rolling pine forests, snow-capped mountains, and crisp fall evenings here tend to make people forget the fact that the park sits atop a huge simmering underground volcano. But new geologic events have served up reminders. In a few days in July, acidic groundwater dissolved parts of the unpaved trails in the North Geyser Basin, and the ground temperature of the trail shot up to 200 degrees Fahrenheit from the usual maximum of 80. And then it goes on talking about the swarm of earthquakes and so forth. But, you know, I'm just watching this kind of cascade effect of what we break here on Earth Changes TV in the field specifically, folks, specifically in the field of earth sciences and space weather. That's our niche. I'm not talking about other areas. Many other news services cover their thing. Our niche is space weather and earth science, and we are rated number one in breaking news events. And here we are weeks, really over a month later, 2 months actually, 2 months later, and it's breaking news in the New York Times. Well, that's going to all change, I promise you that, in the very, very near future. What we present here will be first-run breaking news on the New York Times. Just take my word for it. As things escalate, this is what's going to happen. In the midst of that, by the way, folks, you will also witness the super-duper Doppler weatherman. I'm telling you, if you have not heard my interview with Dr. Ernie Hildner, I encourage you to go do that. He is the top-ranking official with NASA, NOAA, and a handful of other governmental agencies related to space weather. And like I said so many times, I'm so grateful for his acknowledgement of my equation, even acknowledge the implementation of ancient text into predictions. He also acknowledged a megacycle, what I claim to be a megacycle, that has now been confirmed, and he even went so far in the interview to say, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, Mitch, related to cycle 23, we were wrong. We missed that one big time. All right. Now to my guest, Joshua Shapiro. Joshua is the author of Journeys of a Crystal Skull Explorer. Joshua has personally seen a number of crystal skulls, possibly very old, including the famous Mitchell Hedges crystal skull, owned by Anna Mitchell Hedges in Canada. The amethyst crystal skull, the Texas crystal skull, owned by the Parks of Houston, Parks of Houston in Texas, I'm not sure what that means, a small crystal skull which includes Mayan symbols carved in its cheeks and the top of the head, and what he calls E.T. skull, an ancient smoky quartz, human-sized crystal skull, in the possession of Joke Van Dieten, who also has four other skulls as well. He believes that as we move closer, this is Joshua. Joshua is saying that as we move closer to the manifestation of the Golden Age, more and more of the so-called ancient crystal skulls will be revealed. Joshua Shapiro, live from Holland, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mitch. Pleasure to be here.
You know, the phone services are really doing well. You're coming through crystal clear, and that makes me very happy.
Well, I'm happy too.
I'll tell you what, Joshua, I often give my guest an opportunity, if there's any comments that you would like to make on the breaking news events of the day, or in the preamble of my announcing you, please start with that.
Well, I think what I'll do is try to just briefly share why I feel the crystal skulls are so important for humanity and for people to know about them, and then we can go on with your questions, if that's all right.
Let's start there. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, what's been really amazing to me, especially since I've been writing this book. Now, the book is not officially out yet. It's going to come out first as an e-book, but I started working on it in December of 2001, is that there are so many people these days who are feeling drawn or attracted to actually having their own crystal skull, which is possible because there are all these crystal skulls that are being carved, and hopefully we can get into the differences of the different types of crystal skulls through your questions. But just this tremendous interest, and like there was a gathering here in Holland with one of the ancient crystal skulls, which you mentioned, known as Max, and that's owned by Mr. and Mrs. Parks in Houston, Texas. And, you know, there were like 2,000 people or so that came out to experience the energy of Max and to listen to the various indigenous elders that were participating. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that there are a lot of people that are feeling a connection with the crystal skulls, whereas in the beginning, when I first started to get involved in the 1980s, there weren't so many people. And then, of course, another aspect that I think is very important is these indigenous people. If you can find some who are willing to share with you some information related to it, it seems the crystal skulls are connected to many of the prophecies about these earth changes and the transformation that the planet's going through. And, you know, it's just like there's a lot of energy going on around the crystal skulls. I would say probably every week we're hearing from people all over the world, quite a few people now. And so the essence of what I'm saying is there's something around, let's say, the energetic essence of what the crystal skulls represent, that all of a sudden within the last few years there's been a tremendous shift in interest about this. Or one of the books that was written by this couple in England, they told me in their interview that over 100,000 copies have been sold, and it's like translated into 10 languages. So the crystal skulls definitely have something to do with the future. And if I could just briefly summarize, and then of course we can go into your questions and get into more detail, I think there's three basic areas where the crystal skulls are interfacing with humanity. One is they are a catalyst for awakening the spirituality within people. They are a catalyst for either bringing things that are not helpful to a person, whether it's emotional problem or situations in their life. People who have contact with the skulls, things change very rapidly. They get more clarity, but they go through like some kind of a cleansing. And then most of the people who are either psychically sensitive to the skulls or these indigenous people, they all talk about the knowledge that's encoded inside of the crystal skulls, which I think the only way we've been able to bring it out so far is by working with people who have some alignment or attunement to a skull. There's certain information that comes. And the other thing is that my wife Daisy and I, we personally have 9 crystal skulls that we work with. These are all ones that were carved recently, and they talk with us, and they help us, and they guide us. And, you know, we have some very amazing experiences that happen to us as we travel the world with them, especially like at the airports where, you know, they're looking like our big skull, which is called Portal de Luz. I was looking when we were in the airport when they do the x-ray through the bags, because we always bring them on the plane to protect them. And it looks like a human skull that's inside of the bag. So I'm curious if they're going to ask, what is this? And, you know, what are you doing with this, you know, crystal that looks like a skull?
All right. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I was very active in the 80s. I was Mr. Hippy Dippy Man and Mr. Spiritual Seeker. And the crystals and stones, boy, they were just the to-do at the time. And I loved it. I loved the people around it. I loved the energy around it, whether it be in my mind or if there was truly the energy to the crystals itself. We got into the purification of crystals. Where did it come from? The different size of crystals and other rocks as well. And yes, it was just a glorious time. I was having just a beautiful time. I was my partner. She was she was like a nomadic gypsy, and we just traveled everywhere. And I'll never forget 1987, the year of the harmonic convergence.
Right.
Her and I, we spent 6 weeks up in the Manzano Mountains of New Mexico at a Sufi retreat there, and everybody brought their. You know, if it wasn't crystals or rocks, it was something that was sacred to them. Now, here's the question to you, Joshua,
sure.
Is that I believe that we had all these wonderful experiences that crystal energy perhaps could give. What is its significance when it takes the shape of a skull?
Okay. Well, first what I'd like to do is just talk briefly about quartz crystals, and then I'll move on into the shape of a skull. As most people know, our conversation that you and I are having now, especially going out on the internet, would not be possible if within our modern electronics there weren't these pieces of silicon dioxide or quartz amplifying and modulating the electrical currents used. So from the first perspective, the crystals themselves, I think they help people because according to Marcel Vogel, who passed away, but he became very active in crystal research after he retired from IBM. He was involved in helping to create a technology for our hard drives, is what I understand. He said that the quartz crystal has some frequency of vibration or oscillation which resonates completely with the bones in a person's body.
Yes.
And obviously, there are bones in every part of our body from the top to the bottom. So, in other words, the crystal has the ability to have an interaction energetically with a human being. Now, if we move on to a crystal that is in the shape of a skull, why is this significant, or why are people having experiences, you know, with a crystal skull in a different way, let's say, than if they just picked up a regular piece of crystal, or if they work with the crystal in a different shape? I can only share with your listeners my ideas and my theories. I don't know if these are correct or not, but many people ask me in the lectures this question, and so I have to have something to share with them. And also, having the crystal skulls that we have here, and we have this interaction, they kind of impart, let's say, telepathically or intuitively, some ideas about this. The first question that I bring up to people is when we are speaking to another human being, which part of their body do we look at when we talk to them?
The eyes.
The eyes, but it's the head, basically.
Yes.
All right, and the reason that we do that is because we think the essence of who the person is in their head, in their brain, etc. I believe, this is from a spiritual perspective, of course, is that the shape of our skull was designed, let's say, by a higher intelligence or whoever is involved in the evolution of humanity and us awakening to who we truly are, which is children of God. I believe that the skull was designed purposely in this shape because this shape is very receptive to receiving information and knowledge from the cosmos. So if this is true, because, I mean, even if you look at many past civilizations and cultures, there's a veneration for the image of the skull, especially in the areas where many of the crystal skulls have been discovered, which is usually in Mexico or Central America. These Mesoamerican cultures, they have, you know, carvings or skull shapes or images, and some of the teachers that come from those areas even talk about that to many people, the shape of the skull represents death, or an individual who was once alive but is now dead. But in their cultures, they're not afraid of death. They understand that death is only a transition from one state of being into another state of being, and they kind of do a celebration. But for me, the key is it's the shape. It's like a pyramid. The shape of a pyramid, when you go down one-third of the way from the top, it rejuvenates metal. There's some kind of special energies there which these ancient people apparently understood. So I see the shape of the skull in the same way. Now, there are three different types of crystal skulls that exist that have been categorized within the crystal skull community. And those are called contemporary or new crystal skulls, which are the ones that are being created now. There are old crystal skulls, which are ones that were made at least 100 years ago, as far back as maybe 1,000 or 1,500 years. And then there are the ancient ones, which you referenced a little bit in the beginning, which are like 2,000, 10,000, 100,000, million. The problem in differentiating these different skulls is there really isn't an exact science of looking at it physically and say, oh, it's this one or that one. There is a generalization related to the three different types that there are what's called a carver's tool marks, or the marks on the surface of the crystal that are left by the carver in order to shape a piece of crystal into a skull.
Okay. Before you go into that, Joshua, let me see if I can eliminate a couple of myths. Now, I am really kind of a novice at this in this particular area. Now, like I said, during the 80s, I just loved to play with all that, and I had some wonderful experiences, and I'm very open to all these things. But let me address some of the, maybe not myths, maybe misnomers, I'm not sure. But my understanding was that what made the crystal skull, and evidently there's however many there are, that'll be one of my questions to you, is that somehow there was a relationship to aliens or to something like that. Now, for example, let's take the Max. What is the history of Max? Why did Max become so popular?
Well, my understanding is that it was found in a tomb between 1924 to 1926 in Central America, and that the local people there understood the crystal skulls. This is the general feeling that I've gotten from the interviews that I've done with indigenous people from Mexico or Central America, whether they're Mayan, Aztec, or whatever. And then the story is told that there was this Tibetan-trained healer. I can't remember his exact name, but he came, he met with the shaman, and the shaman felt to give him the crystal skull. He took the crystal skull and created a healing center in Houston, Texas. And the current owners, Mr. and Mrs. Parks, became familiar with this gentleman. They brought their daughter, who had a life-threatening illness, to the center, and they were using the crystal skull for healing people. And apparently the daughter's life was prolonged for an additional 3 years. So this is the basic history that we know about. Now, prior to this, who created Max? Where did he come from?
Yeah.
There's been people who, because Max has been traveling all over the world, like I just said, he came to Holland, and Mrs. Parks is the caretaker, and two or three weekends a month, my understanding is, she will go to different places, and people have an opportunity to have a private session with the crystal skull. Now, Max is a representative of many crystal skulls. This is just the one that's traveling the most for right now. The Mitchell Hedges that you mentioned also, of course, is very well known, and that caretaker had also traveled. But most of the histories that we know of these type of crystal skulls, which different people feel could be ancient, meaning, you know, several thousand years or older. I think with Max, they talk about between 20 or 30,000 years when it was created. But how that information is obtained is mostly through people who have been in the presence, or psychics that have worked with it. This is the information that they have received, let's say telepathically or intuitively. Now, you also asked about the possibility of a link with the crystal skulls.
Yes.
From ETs or outer space.
Yes.
Okay. In the first book that I wrote with my two co-authors, Miss Bowen and Mr. Nasserino, in the conclusion of the book, we ask this question. Okay, if we have these crystal skulls, which apparently have no tool marks and are very precisely done, what are the possibilities to explain where did these come from? And basically, we looked at two different options. One is, we said, either there have been some very advanced civilizations that have existed in the past. And I think a lot of people believe in the possibility.
Yes, indeed, more than ever now.
Yeah, like Atlantis, I'm sure existed.
And even more, I tell you, Joshua, with almost on a weekly, although it's slowed down here lately, but in the previous year, almost on a weekly basis, the discoveries were being announced that would take us back another 1,000 years, another 10,000 years, another 100,000 years of civilizations that they were discovering.
Right.
So yes, I am very much open to that.
So we believe definitely in Atlantis. They work with crystal skulls through various sensitives and psychics, and even myself, I sometimes have memories of other lifetimes, and I most definitely have this image in my mind of a temple type structure, of working with other people and seeing crystal skulls being used by these people. But the other possibility is, and I'm going to also add something to this too, related to the ETs, is is it possible, and I believe this too, I think with the crystal skulls there isn't just one answer, because there's so many different ones, they don't look like each other, they each seem to have a different history connected to it, but I believe that some of them were brought by extraterrestrials long ago as a gift to humanity, or a tool to help with our awakening to our inner part, or our spirituality, or you know, there's some people who talk about, and I'm sure you've probably have guests who've talked about this, the missing link. Where did humanity come from? You know, a lot of people are not believing in what Darwin says. We think that there was some kind of interaction with extraterrestrials that changed our genetic structure so that we became the people that we are now. So I think we cannot rule out the possibility that some of these crystal skulls were gifts from such kinds of people. Now, there is one particular crystal skull, which you mentioned briefly, that Miss Van Deaton has, which is called E.T. And I was there with her when she first saw this crystal skull, which was in, I think, 1991.
Is that her real name? Is her real first name Joke?
In Holland, they have a first name, Joke, which looks in English like Joke.
Okay.
But what she did, because so many people are asking, is that your real name?
Yes.
She said yes, so she changed it to Joke. She changed the E to a Y.
I see.
So she's going by Joke van Deaton, but really in Dutch,
that is.
It is spelled like Joke. Anyway, when she first saw the crystal skull and looked at it, she knew right away it had to be called E.T. Now, this crystal skull is not an exact duplicate, like the Mitchell Hedges is almost an exact duplicate of our own human skull. This one is not. It has slightly pointed jaw and slightly pointed to the top, and there was actually an archaeologist, she told me, that looked at it and said, there has never been a bone skull found in the ground that matches how your crystal skull looks like. So she calls it E.T. Now, when we worked together in Australia in 1995, there was this Reiki master who came and had a session with it. And there was a tremendous energy there. What my purpose was to record what this woman was saying. And she felt, and again, this is just her impression, and this is the hard part about the crystal skulls, is there's so many different people that have so many different perspectives about this. And this is what made the time writing very difficult, because I'm trying to figure out, how can I tell the story of the crystal skulls when so many different people are perceiving this in so many different ways? I mean, it's like there's not just one answer. But anyway, this lady was sitting there, and what she said was that what E.T. represents is a cosmic being that came from another solar system or dimension and was drawn to the Earth, and a part of this being solidified into the crystal skull so that it could have an interaction and contact with the people or the beings living here on our world. And another part of it is dimensional. Now, when we first had her crystal skull in our home, she granted us permission with my ex-wife, which was in Chicago. As most of your listeners can hear, I'm an American living here in Holland.
How long have you been there?
Well, I've been here on and off basically from November of 2001, and then in April I got my residency.
Why?
So, the first reason was is I met my wife. She attended a crystal skull lecture that I gave here. And, you know, then I came back, that was in March of 2001, and I came back in June of that year, and we just clicked, and she loves crystal skulls as much as I do. I mean,
What is it about Holland that was so attractive to you? I mean, outside of assuming your wife lives there or is from there.
Yeah, she's Dutch.
So maybe that's what attracted you to. Is there anything else about how I'm asking these questions now because I know so many of us love to travel the world and we're very interested in sacred places, or what is it that attracts certain people to certain places? So if you could take just a second of kind of paint us a picture of Holland and what has been so appealing to you.
Well, I don't want to offend my fellow countrymen, but for me, energetically, and especially when I'm writing, you have to be so focused. I just could not concentrate and write in America. I don't know what energetically is going on there or what's happening, but when when I go into America, I literally feel, because I'm sensitive to energy, I actually can do healing myself, and I do these intuitive consultations. I just had a lot of trouble with energy in America. And when I'm in Holland, you know, it's what people have to understand is everybody knows about Holland, but the country itself is very small. Like, for example, where I come from in Illinois, you could fit probably 5 Hollands into the state of Illinois. However, they have a totally different culture here. In the energetically, for me, it's just a lot more calm. The people are more friendly. They don't all wear wooden shoes, of course, but they have them. I mean, all these things that we know about them. They use bicycles, which I think is very nice. You know, you see these very old people riding bicycles to go from place to place. So I just feel, for me right now, Europe is a better place for me to be. I think the people are more open and receptive to the information about the skulls. Whenever we do our crystal skull research, we never have any problem whatsoever either finding people to let us use their equipment or to find people who want to volunteer to test. So it's just a more friendly culture. And plus, the other advantage that all Americans would have in Holland is the Dutch people, from very young, have to learn how to speak English. That's their second language, just like in the U.S., Spanish is the second language. So yes. Even though I must, as a resident now, learn Dutch, I can communicate with the people because almost all of them speak English. So that,
all right, well, very good. And again, I wanted to bring this up because people are interested in different parts of the world, and even possibly seeking new adventures and possibly even moving. Now, another reason I wanted to ask that question is an area that appears to be related to the crystal skull more than any other geographically is Guatemala, or Mayan country, if you will, Central and South America. Did you ever have any pulls or gravity kind of driving you in that direction?
Well, I personally haven't been able to go visit into the Mayan areas yet. We were invited. There's a Mayan daykeeper known as Hundsbudsman in Mexico. He invited us because in September he was following a prophecy they had that the crystal skulls were important to help to reactivate the energies of their sacred temples. And so what he did the last 2 Septembers, actually, is he's invited different caretakers to come, and they've been working with the crystal skulls to try to activate these places. The Mayans are one of the few groups right now that really are open to talk about what they know about the crystal skulls.
Oh, about prophecy in general, including the Mayan calendar.
Yes, and a matter of fact, there's another Mayan we met. I have to remember his name because you got me up early this morning. What is his name? Don Alejandro, who represents the Mayans in Guatemala. He's part of the council there. And they speak about the crystal skulls are vital for the future of humanity. They have encoded inside of them very important information that we must have in order for our world to move forward and to have peace or to have the golden age, which I believe will begin as their calendar or their prophecy talks about the year zero, which is December 21st, 2012. Now, because my wife and I believe so strongly in that, we married in Chicago last year on December 21st, 2002, or 10 years prior to that.
Yes.
And basically what they're saying is that when that date comes, there'll be 4 days of darkness, and then everything shifts. But one of the things a student of Don Alejandro told me is that they believe that the crystal skulls, which are very sacred to them, and they honor, and also in the book written by Morton and Thomas, who went to a gathering in Guatemala that Don Alejandro was a part of, he said that they admitted they had a crystal skull, but because when the Europeans came, they totally had total disrespect for the Mayans, the Aztecs, I mean, even into South America with the Incas, they just totally subjugated these cultures. They hid all of their sacred objects and tools. So Don Alejandro says that they do have a crystal skull, but they hide it, they guard it, because they know and they believe, and this is basically in alignment with what we feel as well, is it's like the crystal skulls have a role to play. It's like they're a catalyst. They have to be with certain people in a certain place at a certain time, to help the energy of the earth shift and move into the golden age. That's what we believe. So anyway, this person who worked with Don Alejandro said they believe, or through their prophecies or the information that has been handed down from generation to generation, is that certain crystal skulls must be at certain sacred sites at a specific time. Now, for the new book, I started off with a story, and I think the story is applicable to what we're talking about right now. This is a story that came to me when I was in Brazil several years ago. And I start the book with the story because I want to try to give people a perspective of what is possible around the skulls. And basically, what the bottom line of the story talks about is that there's this deadly virus that springs up. Now, this is not something that couldn't happen. We already had this problem with SARS, and we have AIDS. And in many prophecies, it talks about there'll be all kinds of deadly diseases that will just come out of nowhere to try to, that will affect humanity. So in the story I talk about, there's this deadly disease that starts happening in Mexico. The doctors can do nothing about it, and people are dying. And the solution is there's this one Mexican gentleman who sees a crystal skull in a museum. He finds a shaman, and what they do is they do a sacred ceremony or meditation with the crystal skull. And as they do this, there's like this energy that just shoots out of there, and it interfaces with all these different sacred sites like Stonehenge and the pyramids, and it just activates some kind of energy or vibration that literally disintegrates the molecules of this virus.
Have you ever heard the word Merkaba?
Yeah, this through, what's his name? Well, the Merkaba is the Keys of Enoch, talks about it by Dr. I'm losing track this morning.
Well, that's all right. I don't know the names either. All I know is a little bit about that, and as you're describing what this crystal skull is doing, kind of reminds me of how we ignite, if you will, our own inner energies to kind of repel negative forces.
Yeah, I think basically what the crystal skulls are doing right now is you have to look at the scenarios, because I've listened to so many people's stories now. First, an individual doesn't know why, but they have to go see a crystal skull. They don't know why. Okay, it's just something inside of them, like, you know, if Max is traveling, or E.T. is traveling, or Mitchell Hedges, you know, we get emails from people all the time that said, I have to go, I don't know why, but I have to go see the crystal skull. So it's almost like the crystal skulls are calling out to people on some level or some frequency when they're ready. So the person goes, they sit with the crystal skull, and even with ours, which are new ones, we've had these experiences as well, there is some kind of energetic interaction, and something shifts inside of the person. These shifts can be a releasing of negative emotions, or releasing of karma, or releasing of confusion about a certain situation, and then comes some clarity, or changes happen in people's lives. But this is what the crystal skulls are doing now. They're a catalyst for awakening people up.
Well, so you kind of hinted towards that earlier, so I'm going to ask you now. It does appear, Joshua, that you've kind of dedicated your life to this venture. To me, it seems like you're on a mission. So my question is, what is it that you're seeing or understanding that you feel now is the time? What do you see coming?
Well, I'm going to answer that question in a very unique way, I think. And I don't know if your listeners will accept it. So if they don't accept how I'm getting the information, that's all right. But just listen to the information. I believe that we all have spirit guides that guide us in our life. And I definitely can tell you that as I was sitting there writing this book, there most definitely was energies and presences that were around me. One of the spirit guides I have tells me his name is Argus, and that's spelled small r, capital J, small I, small s. And he says, I am you in your future beyond the year of 2012. Now, the first question that we have to ask ourselves is it possible that a future part of yourself could speak to a past part of yourself? And I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. From a spiritual perspective, we're really living in the simultaneous now. which means that whoever you were in the past, whoever you are in the future, it's all happening in the same moment. However, as we are born into the physical reality, as our physical senses tell us what seems to be real, we have the perception of time, but really from a spiritual perspective, or if you talk to people who are able to travel astrally or are very aware of being in their dreams, really time and space is irrelevant on these other levels. So it's entirely possible that you could have a future part of yourself in your current lifetime talking with you. Now, of course, this future part is not really telling me what's coming up, because if he does so, then it could change who he becomes in the future. So it's pretty much he's showing me what's after the year of 2012.
What do you see? What's he telling
you? Okay, so that's what I want to talk about, but I have to explain where I'm getting this information from.
All right.
Okay, so here's what I see after 2012, and inside of me is this absolute knowingness. Nobody can convince me otherwise, and maybe this is the cockiness of being an Aries, but I just feel this so intensely inside of myself, like I'm living this already, is that the world will see absolutely without question and doubt, even though we have not a clue perhaps how this is all going to take place, there will be this time of peace. Because what I see through Arjuna's eyes is I see flying cities. I see crystal cities. I see a communication with life from other worlds and also from inside of the earth. Now, I don't know if people know about the inner earth or the hollow earth theory, but there is a connection with the crystal skulls with this, which we bring up in the book. I just see telepathic communication with the plants, with the animals, a total absolute peace for the world. Okay, but how we get there from now or then, it means a lot of things are going to start happening. And what I think are the keys for right now in order to get us there is, number one, I tell this to people in the lectures, because the way I start my lecture, and this came with this crystal skull that came to me back in 1999 called Portal de Luz, which is Portuguese for Portal of Light. And he calls me Dad. This is the kind of conversation that people have who have these crystal skulls. He says, Dad, you must include in your presentations music in the beginning and in the end. So what we do in the presentation in the beginning is I put on, you know, the song by Genesis, I Can't Dance? Do you know that song, bitch?
Hum a few bars. Probably. Let's just say, yeah.
Let's see if I don't know, let's see, how does it go? I don't know.
Forget it. Okay.
Yeah,
most of our audience knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, so we start with this song, and I get everybody clapping, and my wife and I hit everybody's hands, and we make contact with them, and then I take Portal de Luz, and we dance together, and our way of dancing is I throw him in the air, and I've never missed him. He's 10 pounds. So for some people that's kind of heavy, but I don't know. He has the ability to change his weight, to change his color, depending upon whatever he's doing, and he's very light for me. It's very fluid motion, and this is the way that we dance. But anyway, after I do all of that, I ask the people, I said, okay, why do you think I'm starting the presentation this way? And everybody says, well, you know, it's a good energy, it's fun, you've got people feeling comfortable, you hit our hands, so you're making contact with us, because, you know, sometimes when you're a speaker, you know, there's a separation between the speaker and the audience, and I like to break it right away. But what the main reason I do this, though, is because when I listen to that song, I have to dance, I have to move my body, and I don't worry about, you know, what other people are going to think about this. I'm just having fun doing my thing. But the key is, and this is probably the most important message I could give to your listeners, and that's why I start this way, is when we are spontaneous, when we don't worry about what anyone else thinks about, when we're ourselves, or if you've ever watched a performer when they're performing music or they're dancing, it's like they're in a different dimension or a different world. When we are spontaneous is when God can manifest through us in the highest form. And I believe that that's part of what the crystal skulls are about, is they are it's like you're being in the presence of, if it's an activated skull, and I have to categorize that, because, you know, anybody can go buy one of these new skulls, And if they don't work with it, if they don't take it to sacred sites or to see the ancient skulls or meditate with it for world peace, if they don't share it with other people, the crystal will not become activated. But if you have an activated crystal skull, it's like being in a little mini energy vortex, and its job is to mirror back to you who you really are. And who we really are, I believe, is children of God. Anything that anybody can do, any of us can do this. So now getting back to your question about, am I on a mission? What do I hope to accomplish?
Well, I think you pretty well covered that, but there may be more.
There's one other part of it, I think, to talk about. When I saw the first, what I consider to be old or ancient skull, which was the amethyst crystal skull, something shifted inside of me. And when I was in the presence of it, I knew not only did I have to tell people about the crystal skulls or try to work with other people within the community so people could have their own experience, because that's the key. You have to have your own experience. When you do, or if any of your listeners have seen one of the crystal skulls, they understand when I make this next statement what I'm talking about. When you have your own experience with this, you see that they represent a catalyst to help humanity move forward. That's their goal. But then there also seems to be some kind of, you know, important information encoded in there, and it's trying to figure out how do we get it out. Now, in the new book we talked about, there are two things that we use, two tools to try to encode what's in there. One is called the Bible Code, which is a very controversial code in the Old Testament of the Bible, written in Hebrew. And the other thing is within a certain way of working with digitized pictures of the skulls, there are messages encoded in there, which we show in the book as well. So I think when you, and this is probably true for anybody, when you have a very profound experience that changed your life, or when you wake up, I felt like when I saw this amethyst skull, it woke me up. Because it told me, when I was just looking at the picture, it said, now you know the prophecies that have been talked about are true, because the crystal skulls are connected to these prophecies.
Okay, now let's get into that. Evidently there is something about prophecies and crystal skulls. What is the connection? And then tell me what the prophecies are, but why is it prophecies about the crystal skull? In other words, once crystal skulls become more noted or starting to be seen, or a certain effect or event occurs, that's a sign of something to come? How does this work?
Okay, I'm gonna try to think about what some of the indigenous people I interviewed said, because I think they understand this the best. One Native American I spoke to in Chicago who has contact with different individuals said there is an order in which the crystal skulls will be revealed, and color has something to do with it. So I'm just throwing these things out as parts, because it's like, to understand it completely, you have to look at all the different prophecies. According to, this comes through the groups, I think the Twisted Hairs, which is a secret medicine society of over 400 groups in North America, they talk about this. I think the Mayans talked about this. They said that these indigenous people knew that there would be 500 years of hell, which is basically when the Spanish conquistadors came to the Americas, they basically changed forever the way of life of these native people. But in their prophecies, it told them that there would be these 500 years of hell, or where, you know, things would fall apart, and then all of a sudden there would be this resurgence. Now, I travel a lot to Peru, and as a matter of fact, I have a vision of a crystal skull of the color blue in Peru. And in Peru, they talk about the...
I hope you didn't get that idea from Peruvian flake cocaine.
No, not at all, not at all.
But it does have that... Just to describe that blue, is it kind of a sapphire blue?
Yeah, the closest I've come to it, and remember, this is just a vision I have in my mind. I've not physically seen this skull, although there are other people, when I talk about it, that describe it to me in the same way. The closest I can come to the color is either the kind of sky blue color you see in topaz, or when you have a bottle of water, a natural bottle of water, in the very bottom there's this kind of like sky blue color. That's the color that I see.
Okay,
this one.
That gives a good visual.
Because what was interesting is when I spoke to the Native American who told me, the elders know there is a sequence of color of the crystal skulls coming out, he was very interested about asking me about the blue one without asking me, you know. It was like, oh, this blue one, what do you know about this? Now, in the new book, I talk about the three trips that I've taken. The last one was with my wife Daisy to Peru to look for the skull. We haven't seen it yet, but psychically we've seen it. It's appeared to us, and it's given us some information. And it talks about coming from as far back as a temple in Lemuria that existed in the area of Peru. But that's a whole story in itself that we probably don't have time to talk about. But anyway, getting back to these prophecies, the Mayans, from what I've understood about their idea of the prophecy, is they use the word venerate the crystal skulls, they honor them, and they know, or let's see, what did I hear? They feel, again, that they have to take certain crystal skulls and put them in a certain place on the planet. And this kind of makes sense from in a certain way, is because if these are powerful energy vortexes, especially these ancient ones, and if they have a certain place on the earth they must go, maybe in a certain moment of time, if they're positioned in different places of the world, they will energize the electrical magnetic grid of the earth, and that could be the key.
Oh, now you're sparking my interest. Now you're sparking my interest.
Shift the consciousness of humanity. Yeah. 100th monkey effect.
Yes, yes, yeah. Real quick, hold on just for a second, Joshua. Let me send a message out to my partner in Argentina, Kristen. Please send me some questions for Joshua. You're much more the expert in this area, and I want to rely on some of your insight. Joshua, Kristen lives in Buenos Aires, and she's traveled all throughout Central America and South America, and she has three crystals herself. She has one amethyst, one quartz crystal, and one rose quartz.
Okay.
Do the different colors make a difference in what they do?
Yes, absolutely. For example, smoky quartz seems to be more of a grounding, practical quartz to work with, whereas amethyst seems to work, help somebody with their connection with their spiritual part. Rose quartz, which is a pink color, is for emotions and working with the heart. And clear quartz seems to be like a master of all trades. It can do all kinds of different things.
Okay, now that goes back to my question again. Again, when I was in the 80s, I just loved, I was basically, you know, kind of a nomadic hippie kind of thing, running around the country. And I'm very much into the crystals and the rocks and the different colors, just as you've outlined, and its different effects. Again, but there is, you're telling us tonight that when it's a skull, and it is, even though it is still crystal or quartz or what have you, but because of its shape is what gives it a different influence. Is that correct?
Yes, but the key is there is a process of activating that skull.
Yes.
Okay, because, like, for example, what I put into the book, I don't know if the people will be interested in this, but, you know, I wrote down all the key events related to Portal de Luz, because we've been together since 1999. We've traveled all over the world. I think we've been to, like, about 15 or 20 countries now. And the other thing that we were able to do with Portal de Luz is we had access, since 2001, to all kinds of different type of electronic devices. And we were measuring energetically how is this crystal skull affecting people. And I could see, as I reviewed the test for the book, that his capabilities were improving steadily over time through the traveling, through the ceremonies we did, the meditations, sharing with other people, the sacred sites, placing him in crop circles. Oh, I got to tell you this story. Is this okay?
Yes, crop circles. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, well, of course, everything connected with the crystal skulls is controversial, and all these subjects I'm talking about are controversial. Related to the crop circles, because we're here in Europe, I finally had a chance, you know, to go visit them. And I'm sensitive to energy, so I wanted to see what would I feel when I'm in them, and can I tell the difference between a fake one and a real one. And for me, what I felt when I went into the real ones is there was a spiral of energy in one direction. So if you walk against the spiral, there's this tremendous force against your body, and there is some slight disorientation I felt, and other people talked about that they felt, but this was the way I could tell if it was real or not. If it's not real, then you walk in and you don't feel anything, basically. And even if you look at the quality of the circle, maybe from above, it might look like a nice pattern, but when you go down and you study what's the shape of the crops themselves, you can definitely see there's a difference. Now, we have what's called the World Mystery Research Center, which was started in 2001, which is basically the sponsor for all this research that we do with the crystal skulls. And I have a very good friend named David Kingston, who's kind of our advisor in England, who is a crop circle researcher, and he takes people to this research, and he's constantly updating people on the internet through his mailing list and website. So anyway, I asked David, and I said, David, I would like to do a test with a crystal skull and a crop circle just to see if, you know, there's some interaction or the crystal skull could change energetically the crop circle. So this was in the summer of 2002, and fortunately my wife was able to go with me. We had a few friends, and he had this kind of device that could measure electromagnetic, energy.
Signals, yes.
So he was going through the circle, and we could actually see. There were null spots, and then there were spots where, you know, they were hot or there was energy. This particular crop circle that we went to was near Avebury, and it was kind of a yin-yang pattern. And I don't remember the name of it, but it's in the book. So this is what we did, and this is what happened. And he was there, and he, you know, verified this. What we did is first we measured the energy of the center of the crop circle, which basically what happened in this area is you could see the ground. There was like a little cone over this area, spiraled, but you could see the ground through this cone if you can visualize this. And what we did is we measured the energy there, and it was always zero. Now, when we put Portal de Luz in this spot, we wanted to see if he would change that energy.
Okay, now we're talking about a crystal skull.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we put our crystal skull Portal de Luz in the very center, and we measured again, and it did not change the energy. However, normally I don't see so much in the crystal skulls, but sometimes people can actually see images and pictures inside of the crystal. I saw what looked like an energy spiraling in and spiraling out. And David saw this, and my wife saw this. So what Portal was doing was he was showing me why the reading at the center was zero. It's because the energy there was negating itself.
Right.
In other words, spiraling in, spiraling out very quickly.
Yeah.
So it's zero.
I have a quick question for you, Joshua. We're running short on time. This comes from my friend Kristen in Buenos Aires. She was in Peru. Like I said, she's traveled the whole area there.
Right.
And she was in Peru as well, and she wants to know if you know of the blue crystal skull. It's huge. She says it's huge, so huge, it's almost the size of a car. Do you know anything of this one?
No, I don't. The one I see is about the size of a human skull, maybe larger with a movable jaw, but I don't know about one that's that large. But that's not to say that it could not exist, because we have some new crystal skulls that people are making that are like over 100 pounds. And if the crystal skulls were connected to these advanced races or galactic races, it's entirely possible there could be ones that large. There were several people after Uri Geller held Portal de Luz in England who actually saw a gigantic crystal skull, not blue, clear color, that they were feeling had some connection with being at the center of the Earth. So we talk about that in our new book as well.
All right. Related to geomagnetic storms, solar cycles, Earth cycles, just cycles in general, and energy shifts, not only externally in the way of the universe and our planet Earth, but also with us as humans. We have our own energy. We have our own magnetic fields. And I believe our own we're in the middle of our own transition as we evolve into something else. I know the Mayans speak much of this, the Hopis, many of the ancients speak of this. How does the crystal skull play a role in this, and do you think that in the near future, and then also tell me why, in other words, what events may occur that we might see perhaps the mainstream news picking this up and CNN doing a presentation on crystal skulls?
Well, the BBC did a presentation on the crystal skulls in 1996, so it's entirely possible we could see that, because they're pretty major. I think related to balancing of Earth energies, that's really what your question
is. Yes, it is.
Okay, because I believe the Mother Earth is a living being, and when she does these things, it's to wake people up that the way we are living collectively is not in harmony with her. What I see with the crystal skulls, and people are already doing this right now, we do this ourselves, is certain people feel their mission is to work with these earth energies. And some of these people either use personal crystals or gemstones or crystal skulls and are drawn to go to certain special energetic places or energy vortexes where they're doing meditation or ceremony, and I'm sure the indigenous people are doing this as well. So we could say the crystal skull could serve as a tool because it comes from the Mother Earth. It's a part of her already. It's made from quartz. That part of their work is to work with these earth energies. And then this corresponds with what this contact I had with the Mayan told me, that the Mayans believe there are certain specific places that certain crystal skulls must go to. And they're trying to get those skulls because some of those skulls were stolen from them and now could be some of the skulls that are out now. That eventually to bring these back to these places. And I think that eventually what could happen, like my story was talking about, to handle the virus, is that in a certain moment of time in the future, the near future, I believe, the right people with the right skulls will be at the right energetic place. This could be a catalyst to shift and help to balance the Mother Earth.
All right, Joshua, believe it or not, we are already out of time. I have several websites here listed. Which one would you like people to go to?
Well, I think since the book is almost ready to come out, let's send them to that one, which would be www.crystalskullexplorers. That's all one word, and that's explorers with an S .com. If they go to that site, they'll see some information about the new book. It's going to come out as an e-book first. And basically, it's almost done now. We're just trying to get everything ready and prepared. Hopefully, it'll be out before the end of the month or the beginning of next month sometime. And it pretty much covers every single area that we talked about. Its purpose is to honor all the people who have been involved with the crystal skulls, review some of the earlier information, and then this is my opportunity and time to share everything I've collected since I saw the amethyst skull in 1983.
Well, certainly something is driving you. That is obvious. That's probably what got you on this show tonight, is your passion and observation of what is coming. I mean, it's believe it or not, Joshua, the majority, at least here in America and possibly in most Western countries, they still don't quite see the significance of the changes that are upon us.
Yeah, I understand, because people don't like change, you know. But the thing is, the Mother Earth, whether we like it or not, is going to do what she has to do to get us so that we have this time of peace.
All right, very well. We'll have to end it there. Thank you. This has been a live interview to Holland. Thank you, Joshua Shapiro, author of Journeys of a Crystal Skull Explorer, and we'll see about getting you on again. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you, Mitch.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, there you have it. An area that I don't know a whole lot about. I'm open to it, this idea of the crystal skull thing. I guess I'll learn more as we go. However, in the broader spectrum, as I was saying earlier, I really do entertain the idea of how crystals and amethyst and various rocks and minerals do indeed have an effect on us, so I'm open to that. Now, next week, Tuesday, let me get to the Tuesday the 14th. Boy, I know many of you have been waiting for this. I'm going to have the person who, as far as I know, originated. He is the one who's been pushing this and introduced this to us, called the Harmonic Concordance. The Harmonic Concordance, his name is Johnny Mirehel, M-I-R-E-H-I-E-L. I will have him on here, Earth Changes TV Live, Tuesday, October 14th. That's next Tuesday, folks. You guys have a great weekend. If anything's going on in your part of the world, be sure and email me. I'll get it up on the Breaking News Events if you're starting to notice something. Of course, we will keep you posted on Yellowstone Park as well as all other phenomena. This is Mitch Batras, Earth Changes TV Radio Hour, live. See you next week, folks.